This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Kampungku is a series of renewable energy projects dedicated to resolving the energy-related needs of Orang Asli communities across Malaysia by providing small-scale solar solutions. With the help from the Ecotourism and Conservation Society of Malaysia, or ECOMAI, and other partners, 10 easy-to-use mobile photovoltaic cells and solar lamps were installed in cooperation with the Orang Asli of Kampung Dadari, which is a village community located upriver from Kuala Tahan and right across from Taman Negara. And this was done in less than 6 months. So following the success of that particular project, more projects were initiated to help other Orang Asli communities, and even more are hopefully in the pipeline. So I'm going to find out more about this project from Andrew Sebastian. He's the founder and chief executive officer of ECOMAI, and also Aran Rahul Hashim, who's the lead project coordinator and co-founder of the Kampung Crew Project. Welcome, both of you. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
I'm doing fantastic, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me. So, Andrew, you know, we've been speaking to you a lot about lots of things happening, you know, all sorts of different things happening regarding our environment, but we haven't actually spoken to you about what ECOMAI has been up to. You know, how have you guys been? You know, it's been 6 years already. How are things going with ECOMAI?
It's 6 years, yeah. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's still as challenging as ever. The job is always never done. So that's why Ari and I are on today to talk about a little bit more about stuff that we're doing right now. But yes, it's a challenge. I think it's the same for a lot of people and a lot of folks in the NGO world. I think they're all facing a lot of hardships and challenges because they speak and they work for a lot of people who cannot come on the air or cannot themselves make appeals, yeah, and get involved. So we carry a burden of sharing and caring a lot of other people.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, the pandemic has wreaked havoc on so many things, right? And that includes, you know, the ecotourism sector. And you, of course, you know, half of your work was on ecotourism, right? I mean, you are the Ecotourism and Conservation Society. How has it been for you personally?
Well, personally, as a nature guide, of course, zero business. But I mean, we still do webinars, we still do online talks and Facebook live chats and so on. Yeah, so we keep the inertia going because out there in the forest and in all natural habitats, so wildlife is doing pretty good, you know, except for the places that's being logged right now. We won't talk about that for now, but the wildlife is still there. I mean, Malaysia still has a bountiful resource in terms of ecotourism assets. Yeah, so nature is still wonderful for our country, and we are still positioned as one of the top ecotourism destinations in the world. Right now, of course, it's zero business for a lot of people, downstream, upstream. I'm talking about the local guides, the Asli villages that we can talk about in a moment. But I think it is really humbling in this period of time, and we have to try to reinvent ourselves, and fingers crossed that borders open up pretty soon, domestic travels open up pretty soon, and hopefully we get going even better and stronger as before.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you kind of alluded to, ecotourism is, of course, you know, so much, very much inherently linked to not just environmental conservation, but also local communities, right? And we also know that local communities who depend on ecotourism for income, they've also been, you know, severely impacted, you know, just as you as tour guides have been affected, right? What are some of your observations regarding this?
Well, I think, so it's pretty easy for us to say reinvent yourself you know, think of our alternatives and so on. But for a lot of people, a lot of communities who actually involve in ecotourism is their core business. I think it's very difficult for them to change their business model and so on. Yeah. Mm. So we see like our local guides and so on, they have, with zero income, they are forced or they have to take up other alternative livelihoods. Yeah. Some of them even going back to farming, you know, or even joining plantations, which they really didn't want to, because in most conflict areas, the problem is the plantations themselves. So unfortunately, some of them are being, you know, with no other options, they need to go back and work for plantations. One or two even have to join the logging companies and services and so on, something that they really, really hate to personally. But they are given no choice, you know. There's really not a lot of things out there for them. So, it's tough. It's tough. It's not getting any better right now, but we are hopeful that, you know, the curve comes down and we get going again.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, like you said, zero income. I mean, for tour guides, but also for them, right? Mm-hmm. Those especially who are relying on whatever sort of tourism, ecotourism, anything like that. Really, really tough times. But I mean, despite the challenges, I know that you've continued to work on some of your other projects, right? You know, some of the projects that EcoMai runs. Tell me a little bit about some of those projects.
Well, we are thankful to the Ministry of Finance and Yayasan Hasanah. We just completed a project called Empowering Our Austin Communities with mm-hmm. Clean Water, Clean Energy, and Basic Health Education, EOAC, we call it. This is where we reached out to two of the same the Orang Asli villages that we're going to talk about later. Yeah, we've improved their their lives by giving them for the first time, toilet facilities, septic tanks, mm-hmm. switch services, and so on. We've given them live straw water filtration systems. We give them solar pumps. We've given them a walk-up where they can do their work, where the kids can still learn and read and a place to congregate. And basically, we've given them hope or some form of assistance is very much welcome in that sense. Yeah. So we've continued to do projects like that. We've also started our very own Eco Hero initiative, where we're trying to get more corporates and citizens to jump on board and be a hero and help us out.
Mm-hmm. And I know one of these projects is actually called Kampungku, am I right? And this is something that was founded back in 2016. And actually, Ari, it was your brainchild, right? We haven't heard from you, Ari. Tell me, what sparked the idea for Kampungku?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, before I begin, I want to quickly say thank you, Juliet, for having us on the show. And thank you, BFM. We really appreciate it, especially during these tough times. 2016 projects were inspired by my understanding at a young age that there were many obstacles hampering the Orang Asli on their journey to embracing modernity on their own terms. I think this understanding really kind of developed through my relationship with my uncle, Andrew, who is here on the call today. And I think he's an avid environmentalist and a person who has connections with Orang Asli communities across the country. And I think through that exposure, you know, going with him on these expeditions, meeting these communities, it kind of inspired me to learn more about them through my primary and secondary school career. And through that, I think, and also doing service work with my schools and working with these communities directly, I understood that electricity or the lack of electricity access was really a major challenge they were facing because they didn't have access to electricity. Mm-hmm. They therefore didn't have access to lighting infrastructure. And this prevented things like their kids studying at night for school homework assignments. It prevented their parents from practicing income-generating activities that would pay for the education of their kids, so pay for the healthcare, so on and so forth. And I think at a very more basic level, they couldn't even navigate their village communities come nightfall. And I think that's something we take for granted, you know, walking around our houses at night, knowing that there are lights that we can access. In many of these communities, it's still not the case. And so that left a pretty big impression on me, but I couldn't do anything at that moment in time. I don't think I had the resources or the know-how. So let's fast forward to 2015, where I did turtle conservation work with Lang Tenga Turtle Watch, a phenomenal turtle conservation organization that has operations in Lang Tenga Island and on the east coast of Peninsula Malaysia. And here, you know, among my duties, I got to directly assemble and manage photovoltaics and the accompanying infrastructure. And everything just seemed to click. It was so easy to assemble these units, and the value it brought our small sort of camp community was immense. Wow. And so another fast forward to 2016, my first day at Lewis and Clark College, my alma mater, sitting in my first environmental science class, actually. And here I became aware of monetary resources that we could use to launch sustainability initiatives. And I think that's when all the dots kind of connected. And I realized that I could bring some value here to our Orang Asli communities. And so I found a like-minded organization that felt just as passionately as I did about the situation and had deep connections with Orang Asli communities across the country. And we got to work. And in August of 2016, with backing from Lewis and Clark College, our first CSR partner, with backing from ECOMI and the phenomenal Tamanagar Bird Group, we collaborated with our first village site, Kampung Didari, and installed 10 solar units and 10 lighting fixtures, and impacted the lives of over 50 people. And I think since then I've been hooked. And I'm looking forward to growing the projects and working with them in the future.
Okay, I mean, that's excellent. And it's really lovely that, you know, all your different experiences from even when you were so young, you know, came to impact what you're doing now as an adult. That's really wonderful to hear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And tell me how Kampung Ku, you've called it Kampung Ku, right? I mean, tell me why that name, and how does it work exactly? You know, what are the dynamics behind the project?
Sure. So I think Kampung Ku was inspired by the idea that this is our home. This is my home, right? So the Orang Asli are Malaysians just like us, and I think we deserve to treat them with the same sort of dignity and respect. And I believe that, unfortunately, throughout our history, we've been under-providing in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so we really want to bring the focus back on them, bring the focus back on this beautiful country here we call Malaysia. And how the project works exactly is, think of it as a sort of proactive intermediary. We are not only just connecting capital from our wonderful CSR partners and other donors to the best-in-class technologies that suit the tastes and preferences of our Orang Asli communities, but we're also organizing all these moving parts using project management methodologies in preparation for the execution date. Mm-hmm. And then on that project execution date, we are deploying the best-in-class field strategies to ensure successful infrastructure implementation or service provisions. And then we monitor for over the course of a year, determining whether these projects are meeting our success criteria. Mm-hmm. And then we renew the monitoring process the next year with fresh funding.
And you know, when you wanted to get the project running, right? How did you mm-hmm. approach, you know, the groups that you wanted to you know, get involved in this project? You know, yeah, how did you get it off the ground? Basically, who, you know, which villages were sure. involved? You know, how did you mm-hmm. identify the beneficiaries? Those sorts of things.
Yeah, very good question. I think when we first started out the projects, we were really focused on word of mouth promotion. Mm-hmm. We contacted our on-the-ground mm-hmm. liaisons, which in this case is the phenomenal Tamanagara Bird Group, who have been extremely loyal to us for these 6 years. And they sort of spread the word that there were these resources that we had that could help support, not improve, support the mm-hmm. lives of the Orang Asli communities in the Tamanagara mm-hmm. area. And we heard back from a village community that was very interested. Our first community was Kampung Didari, and they had around 50 people, mm-hmm. and they were really interested. And so after we did our project there, sort of the word spread to the next village next door, and that's sort of how we've been operating on an annual basis. We go by word of mouth referrals. If they enjoy the service, they spread the word, and then we go in and support. So in terms of how we approached Kampung Didari, we did so by organizing a round table with them, with key leaders in the community. And we discussed with them, what technologies make sense for you, mm. make sense for your community and your long-term goals and interests. And through that, you know, we had a very wonderful discussion that was extremely illuminating. So we discovered that they didn't want something that was permanent. They didn't want something that was heavy, because they were constantly migrating up and down river, right? They're a nomadic population, and their migration patterns coincide with the type of seasons. So if it's monsoon season, they're going to be moving down river and so on and so forth. Sure. And so we discovered that, yep, we need to make these technologies more portable. We also discovered that they needed to be versatile and robust, because they were going to be constantly exposed to the elements, right? So we needed something that would be long-lasting. We then also discovered that they wanted something easy to use, something that was easy to assemble and easy to operate, which made a lot of sense. And so here, you know, we were putting together the stakeholder criteria. And then with that criteria in mind, we went out and sourced the technology. We found a fantastic prototype that we then showcased to them in, I think it was June of 2017. And they approved after using it for a little bit. They enjoyed the product. And so in August, we came in with sort of a mass installation approach and installed our 10 photovoltaics and lighting units. And I think in terms of physical installations, that's how we've been doing it for the past 6 years.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. And I'm really happy to hear that. I mean, basically it's referrals that what got other communities involved, right? I mean, that's, I mean, what better,
exactly.
What better testimonial do you need than, you know, the people themselves, your you know, beneficiaries really enjoying it and really seeing its value, you know, for others to get on board with it. Because, I mean, we hate that whole sort of idea of parachuting into other people's villages and lives, mm-hmm. and trying to prescribe things for them, right? We need their buy-in from the start.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tell me how the project has evolved since, you know, 2016 has been many years. How would you describe, you know, its expansion?
Oh, yeah, it's been an entire journey, but a really, really exciting ride. I think we first started out by providing personalized solar solutions and lighting infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And now we're exploring whole new realms and we're constantly learning. And I think at the core of it, that's what keeps Andrew and I going, you know, constantly learning, constantly providing value to our end users, our clients, the Orang Asli. Mm-hmm. So since 2017, we have sort of broadened our scope to include things like clean water access, to include waste services and waste infrastructure. We're also looking to explore economic development models, looking to improve their businesses. Unfortunately, a lot of their current businesses are tied to ecotourism. They're very dependent on it. Mm. And due to COVID, they haven't had access to that at all. And that has played a very detrimental role in their lives. So we're looking to disentangle them from that sort of over-reliance on ecotourism and get them to move their products to bigger markets across Malaysia and overseas using things like digital portals and with integrated payment solutions. And so we're constantly looking for new ways to evolve, and the scope is just forever broadening. We're also looking to work with more communities in the future. Again, like you mentioned earlier, you know, the word of mouth referral is so very important in our line of work. We want to make sure our results speak for themselves, right? And so we're looking forward to working with more communities across the country, as well as broadening our scope. So in those two big ways, the projects are evolving and we're excited to see the future.
Okay, that's really wonderful. And I can't help but have to ask as well, you know, I mean, this, you know, it does require funds. How are you funding these projects?
Good question. So what we do is currently we are pursuing, we have pursued in the past, CSR channels to raise funding for projects. But now, you know, with the projects evolving to include bigger action items, things like clean water and sewage systems and resources going towards economic development models and business changes, the projects, of course, are becoming a lot more expensive to produce. And so we're not only relying on CSR platforms, but we realize that, you know, perhaps the Malaysian population wants to get more involved. And so we're opening things up to them. And I think that's the whole concept behind our Eco Hero initiative is looking towards the public domain to help support these projects in the coming years. Right now, with the Eco Hero sort of initiative is focused primarily on aid relief, especially now with COVID. But that money will be used in the future for bigger initiatives that will be targeting long-term sustainable solutions.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And okay. So, I mean, that's wonderful. So now you also are trying to get the public involved. And how can they do that exactly? You know, I mean, how can they get in touch? How can they start collaborating with you guys?
Yes. Well, there are a few channels. Basically, we've launched Eco Hero onto our website, ecomy.org. We've also put it up on our Facebook, Ecotourism and Conservation Society Malaysia. We have a dedicated account in Maybank for this. This is externally audited, and we are tax exempted by the Ministry of Finance. People can also email us if you want to, info@ecomy.org. And go onto our website and have a look, because there's a lot of ways in which people I know want to help. And Malaysians are known to be very, very generous.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the channels that that's available right now. So we hope that people get onto it. Do a bit of reading, because we put in the list of villages that we want to reach out to. That's more than, more than 300 individuals that need our help. Most of them are children. Yeah? So the profile of the villages are mainly, majority-wise, yeah, the children, their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we are hoping that people jump on board and help us.
Okay. All right. And I do know that there is a very current fundraiser going on, right? And this is specifically for the folks from Sungai Tembeling, if I'm correct. Tell me what you're raising funds for.
Yeah. So this is, again, a part of the Eco Hero initiative that we've launched. So right now, we're really focused on aid relief. I think, especially now, this is very important. You have to remember that the Orang Asli have been cut from their traditional income sources that had much to do with ecotourism. And so they're really starting to struggle financially. It's been a year and a half, and they're really having a hard time. So the plan with this initiative is aid relief. And so within that sort of aid relief domain, we're looking at providing things like provisions, cooking oil, rice. We're also looking at providing basic toiletries, soaps, et cetera. Also, things like blankets are very important. And, you know, in the midst of that, if possible, we would love to continue updating our technologies and improving them by providing our personalized solar solutions, as well as life straws that will enable them to have access to clean drinking water. So it's really a multifaceted situation. And we're hoping that the Malaysian public supports us and we can get some stuff done, some good stuff done on the ground.
Yeah, I think, it's really important to remember. I mean, we just heard, of course, the lockdown is continuing. And, you know, mm-hmm. even as we struggle in the cities, just being cooped up at home, we're forgetting that some people have completely been cut off from their source of income, daily wage earners. You know, so many people are struggling. So whatever little we can spare, you know, do spare it, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
And the point to add, I mean, the Aslis are not really dependent on welfare and so on, you know.
Yeah.
What we want to do is avoid the situation where they have no choice but to go into the forest, into the national parks, and hunt and take wildlife species, you know, some of which are endangered or critically endangered and so on. So we don't want them to do that. And they themselves don't want to do that. Yeah. So they've been cut off, as Ari said, they've been cut off from the traditional hunting and foraging grounds by plantations and logging and so on.
Mm.
And we've got them to buy into ecotourism and tourism and so on. So we're hoping to keep them on track. And, you know, support to our Eco Hero program, I think, will hopefully give a light at the end of the tunnel. And maybe Ari and I have been discussing with other people as well, how else can we help them in terms of making them more sustainable, yeah, if this thing prolongs.
Okay. All right. Excellent. So I guess, you know, if anybody's listening, just head to ecomai.org or follow you guys on your social media platforms. Like, I think Facebook is probably one of the best ways, yeah, to keep in touch?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Excellent. And I guess, you know, any last message that you'd like to leave us with, gentlemen?
I think for me, I think hearing Ari talk is really nice to hear, and right, really nice to work along the young. Yes? I speak as if I'm 100 years old, but Ari, I'm so proud of you. Really nice to hear your convictions and your commitment, seeing Kampung Ku through this period especially. Yeah? And so for people out there, I think there's a lot of ways you can help. There's a lot of other communities and other groups are also doing the same thing that we are doing. In fact, we're doing better, I think. Yeah, the Center for Orang Asli Concerns, for example, yeah, they've been always championing Orang Asli rights and well-being. Yeah, so there are a lot of groups out there that you can help. So the voice that you're hearing today, Arun, Rahul, Hashim, myself, Andrew, yeah, we just stand on the shoulders of a lot of people who are doing a lot of good work, a lot of community leaders and so on. So our thoughts, our hearts, and goes out to all the people who are there, and we do hope that the very little that we can help them this time, I mean, will have a bigger impact on them. Yeah, Ari?
Yeah, so exactly what Andrew said. We're standing on the shoulders of giants, and we celebrate all that has come before us, and we also celebrate all that will come after us. And I think I want to say thank you to everyone who's been supporting our initiative, who've been keeping track of our projects, but thank you to also to those who've been supporting other such initiatives across the country. We're really struggling today as Malaysians, given COVID. But I think the population is unifying, coming together to do great things. And I'm really excited about that. And I think we're going to do more greatness in the future together. And I guess just one of those things is our project. But yeah, thank you for everything. And we're really excited to see what happens in the future.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, gentlemen. I'm very excited to see. And we'll be in touch, of course, to see, you know, how Kampungku and all the other projects under EcoHero progress from here. But again, you know, if you'd like to find out more, just head to ecomai.org or follow them on Facebook for more information and find out how you can help. I've been speaking to Andrew Sebastian, the founder and chief executive officer of the Ecotourism and Conservation Society of Malaysia, or EcoMai, and Arun Rahul Hashim, who's the lead project coordinator and co-founder of Kampungku. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, just search for the podcast on the BFM app or at bfm.my/earth. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.